What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk with Naj, man. Hope you guys had a great weekend. I didn't do an episode yesterday, but you guys know producing and dropping content every single week. So make sure you tap in and tune in. Follow me on all the social handles, Twitter at Naji Woke, Instagram Naji Woke, and also TikTok at Naji Woke. And how you spell that? N-A-J-E-H-W-I-L-K. So make sure y'all tap in and tune in. But man, I'm going to be responding to what happened this past weekend with football, and you know, giving my thoughts on divisional round weekend, and then I'll get into some soccer news, obviously, and then talking really quick about NBA trade for the Lakers. Far as soccer, just talking about Premier League, some major news this past week, and some of the big victories that are, you know, really helping out teams. So, you know, we'll get into that after we talk about football, but let's get into football first. So first and foremost, I guess I'll start with the Jacksonville game. So Chiefs in Jacksonville, I really thought they had a good game. Jacksonville came in, they competed well, I thought. And, you know, was it necessarily a challenge for KC? I would say no. They did deal with the injury, gruesome injury to Patrick Mahomes, who has a high ankle sprain. I hope he does play this upcoming week against the Bengals. But for him to kind of gut that out, I think says a lot about him. But I'll talk about that in a second. But I thought Jacksonville did their best. I thought Trevor Lawrence, for the most part, didn't turn over the football. I think it was a good learning lesson for them. I just felt like second half, they didn't run the ball enough offensively. I felt like almost Etienne, he did score a touchdown, but I felt like they didn't involve him enough in the second half. I felt like they got a little too pass happy, especially on that last drive, throwing the ball to Jamal Agnew. You know, he was just trying to, you know, make a move before he really secured the ball. So, you know, that's tough, all that fumble was. And then when they got it back, you know, Trevor Lawrence turned it over with the interception. So it's just tough. You know, he's trying to avoid the rush, kind of threw it up. And, you know, Kansas City made a great play on the ball. They made a great play on the ball, and that was the difference. So, you know, Jacksonville is going to learn a lot from the game. I think it's only going to help them and fuel them, you know, going down the line. So, yeah, that was my biggest takeaway. And then defensively, Jacksonville just had no answers. Travis Kelce killed him. Standing in the middle of the field, he had 14 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was a wrecking ball, a wrecking force. There's nothing you could do to really stop him that night. And it was like that's the main game plan. Obviously, KC's gotten better because they could run the ball by Isaiah Pacheco, who had 12 rushes for 95 yards and a touchdown. And they have Jerick McKinnon. And I don't know when Kyle Edwards-Hilaire is going to return. But, you know, they have those guys that can beat you in a running game. They didn't have that before. You know, it was more so, you know, through the passing attack, through Mahomes, things like that. But they can't lean on that ground game to kind of get them out of spots and, you know, to really open up the offense. So I think that's big for KC. That's really what's made the difference this year for them. So that's what stood out to me in that game. Shout out to Mahomes for gutting through that high ankle sprain. Certainly not easy. The adrenaline clicked in. He even told his coach on the sideline, I don't want to come out. You know, screw that. I want to play. I want to be here for my team. So, you know, he values it a lot. That's what you want out of your franchise quarterback, man. So shout out to Andy Reid, though, for making sure he got checked before he came back into the game. But I thought Chad Henne, going on that 99-yard drive, I thought he did a good job. I mean, I thought he answered the bell. He answered all the questions. You know, he looked poised out there. He didn't look nervous. He didn't look, you know, scared or anything. I thought he drove him right down the field and had a good drive, and they scored. So probably didn't maybe even need Mahomes. But, you know, credit Jacksonville for fighting. But, you know, just Chiefs is a better team. Defense played well for the most part. You know, Chris Jones was having a good game, creating interior pressure. You know, and I don't think, you know, Trevor Lawrence was ever really comfortable in that game. So that's what really stood out to me in that one. So, you know, Jags, you know, a couple pieces away. Next year they will have Calvin Ridley, so that's something to think about with that receiving core. Evan Engram was signed on a 1-year deal, so you got to see what happens with him, if he's going to stay or if he's going to leave. But I thought he was a great asset to them in the receiving game all year long, and why they was kind of able to go on the run. So I would try to re-sign him. You bring Calvin Ridley. You obviously got Christian Kirk on that 4-year deal, probably 3-year deal now that he signed a couple off seasons ago. You know, and your core team's young. Trevor Lawrence is second season. He'll be going to his third. ETN, same thing. So you got some good pieces. Defensively, you just got to get an edge rusher, I think. Another one to go along with Trayvon Walker. And just a couple more pieces on that defense. And, you know, you'll be good to go and be able to compete and contend. So shout out to Jacksonville. Other game, I guess I'll stay with AFC. Bills-Bengals. Yeah, man. What's that song by Brand Nubian? Punks jump up to get beat down. That was a beat down. They straight out outclassed the Bills. I was thoroughly pleased. I don't have really made any major complaints from that game as a Bengals fan. I thought they did a good job. It was snowing hard. running the football, leaning on the rushing attack. I thought the offensive line, I give them an A-plus grade. I mean, you can't play no better with three backups, you know, for them to, for him to have all that time and, you know, without, you know, Jonah Williams being there, without Lyle Collins being there, without Alex Kappa being there, for y'all to create that kind of time for Burrow and for, to be able to run over 100, I think 170 plus yards rushing, I think that just says a lot. And they were ready. Frank Pollock had them ready. And, you know, only one sack for minus 2 yards. And you could really say that was a coverage sack. I thought they played magnificent. You can't play no better in the biggest spot like that. So, shout out to the O-line, man. That's always been a concern for Cincinnati. That's why they went out and addressed in the offseason. They got 4 new starters, a rookie, and then 3 guys they signed in free agency. And then Jonah Williams was the other lone star on the left tackle position. But, I mean, to me, you can't play any better. And I thought they had a great game plan. It felt like Buffalo was on their heels all night long. I thought Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan, you know, orchestrated a magnificent game plan. And that's the thing with the Bengals, like, and that's what I've been harping on all season. I've always said the running game, the running game, the running game. And I always bring that up because it keeps the defense on the edge. So, obviously, they were running a quick passing game, getting the ball to Burrow's hands quickly. But when you're able to run the football, you know, then you have your backers coming down trying to stop the run. But then that opens up things over the top. So, then you got an extra safety or extra person in the box. Then you got one-on-one coverage with your dynamic weapons and T. Higgins and Boyd and, obviously, Jamar Chase. So, it's like when you're able to do that consistently, defense don't know what you're going to do. And it just makes them – it makes them uneasy. It's like, oh, I don't know what they're going to call. And then you basically, they're playing into your hands. And I thought that's what I saw in that game. They're getting 6 yards on first down pretty much every play. So to me, I mean, you can't play that any better. That's how you have to play if you're going to win the whole thing. If you want to win a Super Bowl, that's how you're going to have to play. Mix it up. Involve Mixon. He's a great running back. I know a lot of people come for him and give him a lot of slack, but that's just what I felt all season. You know, 10 carries, 11 carries is not nearly enough. Even if you have to involve Samaje Perine, if you think, I don't think you need to more than what he is, but if you feel like, okay, well, we need to thump it more with Perine instead of Mixon, still, you know, split them two. At least let them both get 10 carries apiece if you're going to split it between the two. At least have 20 to 25 carries a game. It just takes some off Burrow, who we know is great and excellent, but then it makes his job easier. He can pinpoint the defense. He can see what coverages they're in. And then, like I said, when you have the running game, the team's going to run that cover two, which basically two high safeties. It leaves the middle of the field open, which Hayden Hurst balled on, 5 catches, 59 yards, a touchdown. And, you know, it leaves your running game. So you have a running game, then they start bringing, you know, more people up. It's man-to-man coverage. Our receivers can win on the edge. You know, that's what we got them for. Chase, you know, Higgins and Boyd can win one-on-one coverage. So, and then, you know, like I said, the whole entire playbook's at your disposal. So that's what I saw in that game. So, again, shout-out to Burrow. I mean, he's just a guy. I really think that was a third touchdown. They need to change the rule. As long as you have 2 feet in, it's a catch and the ball doesn't hit the ground. I mean, it's a catch to me. That's the biggest thing. That's how it's really always been. I know they changed the rule, you know, years ago, but that should have been a catch. That would have been Chase's second touchdown and then Burrow's third. But Burrow balled, man. He really changed our franchise, man. I think he got a chance to be one of the best Bengals ever, literally. Or, I mean, I've never seen that. 2 years, you know, 5 playoff wins. Before that, we only had 5 as a whole team. We were 5 and I think 14. We had the worst winning percentage in the playoffs prior to that in NFL history. So he's changed our franchise, man. And to be curious to see, you know, what kind of a deal he's going to get. If he's going to do a team-friendly deal to sort of make sure he keep all the weapons going, because you still got to play T. Higgins. You still got to play Tyler Boyd. I mean, not Tyler Boyd. You still got to play T. Higgins. You still got to play Jamar Chase. And you got, you know, free agents at the linebacker position. I thought Jermaine Pratt and Logan Wilson had a great game. And that's what I'm talking about, too. I didn't talk about the defense. So, defensively, I mean, you can't play a better game. You hold Buffalo to 10 points. That's a high-powered offense. I don't care what anybody says. You might say, oh, well, they lacked their running game. Yeah, they did. But still, they put up 34 against Miami. You know, prior to that, I'm trying to remember the game they played. They played the Patriots. I think they put up over 30-plus points. So, this is a team that can score and score at will. So, I thought, too, Lua Anarumo had a great defensive game plan. He did. To hold them to only 10 points, and everything just seemed hard for Buffalo. It seemed difficult for them to move the ball. It seemed difficult for them to get first downs. Nothing was easy. Cam Taylor-Britt had a well of a game. Eli Apple had a good game. You know, D.J. Ritter and Interior had a good game. They were creating pressure on Josh Allen. They didn't get a lot of sacks, but they were getting QB hits. He did a good job in the second half of bringing Mike Hilton down on delayed blitzes. All that stuff makes a difference, man. And you really seen it in the game, and it made Josh Allen uncomfortable. It made him have to go to different, you know, reads early. And I thought it was just a magnificent defensive game plan too. I mean, it was all around domination. And you know, shout out Luan Arumo, man. I mean, you know, I hope we can keep him another year, but he's great for our defense. They respond to him well, and they've shown it all season long, man. They've come through, you know, week in, week out. When the offense, you know, hasn't gotten it going second half, they come through with big stops, turnovers, get the ball back to the offense to help us win games. This one was just, you know, all around team effort. You know, offense was balling all game long, defense was balling all game long. But to hold the offense to 10 points in the snow, you know, where it kind of plays into the hands of the Buffalo, hey, you can't really say much else, man. So shout out to the defense, shout out Luan Arumo, shout out to all the players, Jesse Bates, Von Bell, Mike Hilton, Trey Hendrickson, Sam Hubbard, DJ Reader, Logan Wilson, Jermaine Pratt, Kemp Taylor-Britt, Eli Apple. They all ball, and that's why we won the game. But my stance on Buffalo is, you know, I have no ill will towards Buffalo. You know, much respect. You know, I hope everything works out for them. But if you think about it, man, the NFL has played into their hands the last couple of seasons. Like, I want everybody to think about this. They literally changed the rule because of what happened in the NFL divisional game, because Mahomes went down the field with 13 seconds against the number one scoring defense at the time, and he's tied it up, and then they went down and scored the touchdown in overtime and won the game. Then the very next week, Cincinnati plays them. It's the same thing. They tie the game up, Mahomes does. They go down the field, whatever. They get the coin toss. He's like, okay, well, this game's over. Burrow's not even going to touch it. The defense forces a turnover. It was a deflection by Jesse Bates, picked off by Von Bell. A couple plays later, Cincinnati goes down and kicks the game-winning field goal. So that goes to show you that defense can't get a stop, you know. But that rule was changed literally because of the Bills. Then, you know, you're selling tickets early, which, you know, I understand. But it's like, yo, that's a smack in the face. You're already selling tickets for a neutral site game when the AFC divisional round hasn't even been completed yet. It's like a direct smack in the face. Like, you're giving teams more ammunition, you know what I'm saying, against that. And I don't blame them. I know some reporters was like, oh, well, they shouldn't have, you know, said that, issue those refunds. But I don't disagree with what they said. I don't. I mean, that was a direct smack in the face. Like, you don't, if you sell tickets for that, cool, but do it once you know it's set. And then you screwed the Bengals again, you know, when you made them coin flip. Like, think about this. I'm going to have to coin flip for a division we already won, but I have to coin flip. If we lost that game, you know, and you made us play as starters, I have to coin flip for that home field, even though we won a division that had the better record. So it's just like, and then we had to play the same team the next week. So it's just like a direct smack in the face multiple times to the Bengals. And like I said, they're not a team that takes kind of disrespect. And it's nothing against the Bills. Like I said, this is the NFL's doing, so it's no disrespect to them. But I will say this. I feel like the NFL has had a little bit of favoritism a little bit. I can't say that. And we know what the NFL wanted. They wanted Bills, Chiefs again, but it didn't happen. You know, so sorry we spoiled the party, but it didn't happen. But it's no disrespect to the Bills. The Bills are going to, I think, eventually win a Super Bowl. The biggest thing is, you know, will they regress after the season? Because, you know, they were in the AFC Championship game. Then they got to the divisional last year, lost in a heartbreaking loss fashion. Then they lost this year, you know, ugly loss. So I don't think there are a lot of pieces away. I think they need to retool their kind of offensive line a little bit. They need to get a run game going, take a little bit off Josh Allen. I think he's asked to do a little bit too much in a lot of the games. And maybe just another, you know, weapon on offense in the receiver game. I like Gabe Davis. I like Stephon Diggs. But I think they need a true slot receiver that can help. And I think, too, it got to be said, the defense, to me, seems like they don't come up big in the biggest moments, in my opinion. It seems like they kind of fold almost, or they're not what they are during the regular season. Like, Buffalo plays a pretty good defense. Last 2 years, they've had top five defense, top five scoring defense. So you can't really play much better in that, you know, having a top five scoring defense. But it's like in the playoffs, it's like they get almost, if you think about it, exposed. Like, last year, couldn't even get a stop with 13 seconds left. You think, okay, hey, that's ball game. It's going to be the Bills. You know, Bills going to go to the AFC Championship game. They couldn't even stop Mahomes with 13 seconds left in the game. Then this year, same thing. They kind of, you know, they didn't have any answers defensively. They kind of just got outmatched, out game planned, and didn't really have any energy or juice. So I think you got to look at it too. Obviously, you know, Allen's going to get a lot of the blame, but, you know, you got to look at the defense, too, because they have not come up big in big moments as well. So that's something to think about. And I think, too, You know, Bills was a preseason Super Bowl favorite. They're the first team since 2015 not to reach the conference championship game. And a lot of people had Josh Allen as the MVP. So, you know, like I said, all year long, if you think about it, the Bengals have been disrespected. This is a team that just went on a Super Bowl run, beat Mahomes in Kansas City, made it all the way. But the Bills were pegged as a Super Bowl favorite after losing with 13 seconds left when they haven't even got to the game yet. So it's all year long. It was Bills, Chiefs, Bills, Chiefs, Bills, Chiefs. That's why I brought up my points earlier about what the NFL really wanted and what game they really wanted to see. And, you know, the media played into that, too. You know, that's all they talked about was Bills, 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 Chiefs, Bills, Chiefs. We didn't start getting respect until we went on our 8-game run again, 8-game win streak during the regular season. And, you know, the Bills were favored in that game. They were 6.5 favorite to beat us. And I think it was a 66 FPI chance to win that game as well. So the Bengals just took it, man. So you got to put some respect on their name, man. And Burrow's that dude. And Chase is that dude. That whole team is just different. So, I think Buffalo, before it's said and done, Buffalo will win the championship. Josh Allen reminds me a little bit more of a Ben Roethlisberger, but way more mobile, a better arm, I think a little more accurate as well. But don't be surprised next year, and I'll end on this. Don't be surprised next year if Buffalo takes a step back. And I only say that because they need a couple more pieces, and that division's getting better. Jets are QB away from the playoffs. That's a playoff roster. Off rip, that's a playoff roster. Miami, same thing. Quarterback away, couple pieces on the defense. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, when healthy, Raheem Mostert. They're really good. And defensively, just a couple more pieces. They got the Bradley Chubb in a trade. They got to get a couple more pieces on that defense. The defensive line, the linebacker position, a couple corners, you know what I'm saying? But Miami's going to be there. So the division's going to be tough, man. It's not going to be no cakewalk, you know. So they got to think about that, too, going into the next season. So I do think they will take a step back. I don't know if that's not making the playoffs or if that's making the playoffs losing the first round, but I think the Bills are going to take a step back next year. So definitely listen and see if I was right on this, and comment, you know, below if you think I'm insane for saying that. But let's keep going. Eagles, Giants, I'll just be honest. I had the Eagles winning this one. I actually went 3-1 in my picks this week. I think Eagles just had too much talent. Now, you may say, oh, well, you know, Brian Daboll's doing a great job. He's a great coach. He is. He's a phenomenal coach. To get what he got out of that talent says a lot of what he can really do. Saquon Barkley's a great player. He wants to actually stay in New York. He's already said that. He wants to be a Giant for life. So that's a good thing. He's a great player. The thing with him is, you know, obviously the injury concerns is a factor. But when he's healthy, he showed you what he can give you. He can give you a 1,000-plus yard rusher. He can give you somebody that can, you know, get in between the tackles. He gives you somebody that can block well. He gives you somebody that can be receiving throughout the backfield. But you need more weapons. Richie James, Isaiah Hodgins, Kenny Galladay, that's not enough, you know. And I know a lot of people want to come for Daniel Jones. But he did help them get to a playoff victory against a team that you could say Minnesota was a more talented team than the Giants. But their defense wasn't as good. So, you know, that's why a lot of people had the Giants upsetting the Vikings. But they were definitely more talented offensively. I mean, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, TJ Hawkinson, Adam Thielen, they had weapons all over the field. But Philly just straight out outclassed them. They beat them 3 times in a year, and they just had a better team. They got speed all over the field. They got guys that could fly to the ball. They were third most in NFL history in sacks this season. They were bringing pressures on Daniel Jones, made him feel uncomfortable. And the offense, they just ran the football. It was a trenches game. They got three Pro Bowl players on the offensive line, and they just ran it down their throat. They did. They didn't make Hurts run a lot. I think he ran it 9 times. They used Miles Sanders. They used Kenneth Gainwell, who rushed for over 100 yards. Sanders had 90 rushing yards. That was just a straight outclass. You know, it was a straight dominant game. They went up 28-0 at one point, and that's the thing. To me, it was just a talent discrepancy. I think they got a really good defensive line, the Giants do. Dexter Lawrence, Leonard Williams, Kayvon Thibodeau, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with soon. But I think that offensive line for Philly is just different. So they're a couple pieces away, but they're not too far off. I'm going to be honest with you. They're not too far off, the Giants. They got to get some more pieces on the offense. And I think before you can really evaluate Daniel Jones fully, you got to get him with a number one receiver. I feel like he's been missing that throughout his career. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Go get him a number one. You'll be able to tell if he's really that guy. Now, let's move to the other game. That was Cowboys and 49ers. Now, I think Cowboys, and I'm going to say this, Cowboys have a Super Bowl winning roster. I don't really say that a lot. A lot of times they're kind of overblown or in over their heads. And you know, you saw frustrated fans where we're breaking TVs and things like that. But that team has a Super Bowl roster. I mean, CD really impressed me. I didn't even have him come into the season really top 10. I think he's a top five receiver in the game right now. To do that against that good of a defense in San Fran, the number one defense, and to go over 100 plus yards on some balls that were underthrown, to be a constant receiving threat, he's a top five receiver in the game. He really showed he's a number one receiver. Dallas doesn't need more talent. They have a quarterback problem. You know, that's what they have. It sucks that Tony Pollard went down in that game. And, you know, I put some blame on Kellen Moore because I felt like once he went down, he didn't have any answers to the San Francisco defense. They couldn't do nothing offensively when they have all the talent. You got Dalton Schultz, who's a pretty good tight end. He's not a George Kittle or Travis Kelce, but he's a top-tier tight end. You can't tell me Dalton Schultz is not a top-10 tight end in the game. You have that. You have a number one receiver, you know, but they shouldn't have let Amari Cooper go. Now I get it. Jerry Jones is in a bind because, like, I don't want to pay that extra $20 million. Then you got a decline in running back in Ezekiel Elliott, so that doesn't help you. But I thought they played a good game. You can't play San Fran no better. You hold Christian McCaffrey defensively to 35 yards. Debo Samuel, what, maybe a couple catches, a couple rushing yards. They played outstanding. That's a talented team, you know. And it was just George Kittle stepped up big when they needed him to over across the middle of the field. That's what made the difference in the game. Those throws of George Kittle got him down in the red zone. It's finally able to get a little bit of a run game going, like late third quarter into the fourth. And that made the difference. But Dallas's speed is something serious. I mean, Micah Parsons on the edge in that linebacker position. And you got DeMarcus Lawrence was making some good plays. So I think they need another corner on their defense. Dallas. I don't know if you want to say the same tier as Trayvon Diggs or Trayvon Diggs, but you need something else to kind of help him on the other side. Maybe get another safety. And then running back, you got to draft a running back. They'll be in position, I think, this year to draft Bijan Robinson, who was one of the best backs in college football. So you got to go draft him. I mean, I think eventually you're going to have to cut Zeke. Unfortunately, you might have to keep him because Tony Pollard's hurt. But Tony Pollard's your one. Let Bijan Robinson kind of be that bruiser when he comes in and help you out. But Dallas is literally QB away. He played terrible. Week before, praise them. He threw for 305 yards, had five total touchdowns, four rushing. I mean, four passing, one rushing. Can't play no better. But Dak, the problem with Dak is he's too inconsistent. He has not had two consecutive games. It's been four, I'll say it like this. It's been 49 games since he's had two consecutive games put together without a turnover, without a fumble or interception. That's not getting it done. You don't pay your quarterback 150 plus million to do that. You pay him 150 million plus to win big games, get you into the fight, you know, playing the NFC Championship game. And they haven't played in that in over almost close to 30 years now. It's been seven straight playoff losses in the divisional round for the Cowboys. So it's tough. I don't know how this team's going to look next year. That'll be really interesting to see what Jerry Jones is going to do. But again, I'll say it. That's a Super Bowl winning roster. So if you're the Cowboys, you're Jerry Jones, you're going to have to really evaluate things, take a long look and see, okay, is this really our guy at the quarterback position? You know, because you're going to owe him $34 million guaranteed. And then the following year, I think it's $31 million, but that's not guaranteed. So, you know, do you want another year with Dak? Or you might have to really start thinking, contemplating, okay, do we make a trade? Do we trade some of our assets and our pieces to go get a quarterback? You know, obviously, you don't want to trade CD. You're not going to trade Trayvon Diggs or Micah Parsons, but maybe a couple draft picks and, you know, one key player that you've had over the years, you know, like a Leighton Vander Esch or, you know, Ezekiel Elliott or something like that, to go get the guy. You know, it might be Justin Fields. It might be getting a quarterback in this draft. It might be trading a piece to get one of these top-tier quarterbacks. It might be to try to get a quarterback in free agency. It's something to think about. And if not, I think you have to at least give yourself third, fourth round getting a quarterback. Because Dak is good. He's going to get you to the postseason, but it's like he comes up short in the biggest moments. And those two interceptions hurt. He nearly threw a pick six at the end. He's just not getting it done. And when you have a Super Bowl roster and your quarterback can't get it done, you got to really look in the mirror. So that's my thoughts on the Cowboys, what they need to do. But again, I'll say this again. They have a Super Bowl winning roster. They are just, I think, a quarterback away, man. And San Fran, I thought Dallas played them tough. I wasn't too thoroughly impressed. Everybody's on this Brock Purdy train. I wasn't too impressed. I mean, he made some good throws late and, you know, putting them in tight windows. But it's like, if you can get pressure on Brock, you could be successful defensively. And if you got some speed on the edges, and you got some really good interior defensive linemen, some linebackers that can float to the ball, you got a chance, man. And I think Philly has that. Philly has some guys on the edge that can rush well. They can win with their front four. And I think they got some linebackers that can fly around to the ball. So it'll be an interesting matchup next week. It will be. But You know, they really shut down their two main players. Only one was Kittle. Kittle, you know, balled and had a really good game. So, you know, if you're able to shut down McCaffrey and Debo, you gotta like your chances, man. You do. So that's my thoughts, man, on the NFL. I can't wait for championship weekend. I might do a podcast or a little video giving my predictions on the championship games. I got to do a little more analysis first before I do that. But that's my thoughts on the NFL divisional round. Very exciting football. I can't wait for the championship weekend, man. And it's been a lot of fun. But let's go ahead and get into some Premier League, some soccer, some major news. Frank Lampard was let go by Everton. This is their sixth manager they've let go in 5 years. You know, a team that's, you know, really wants to win, but just have not. They are currently right now in the relegation zone. I believe they are the 19th team. The good thing is they are only, I think, 3 to 4 points out from, let's see, let me make sure I got the standings right. I think they're 3 or 4 points out. Let's see, from the relegation zone to get into the 14th spot. Yeah, they're currently 15, so a win, 3 points. Will put them in 14 with Leicester City. So they're not too far out, but they have not won a game since October 22nd. So they are in some real trouble right now. They're in a financial kind of a bind as well. So that doesn't bode into their favor. So they're struggling right now, but we'll see if the new manager they find can kind of help. I don't know if they'll land a lot of transfers. The transfer deadline is actually a week away. It's going to be on January 31st. So we'll see, you know, kind of what they're able to do in that transfer deadline. But right now they have the chance of getting relegated, but we'll see if they can turn it around about halfway through the season right now. So that'll be really intriguing to see kind of what happens with that. But yeah, big win this past week. Manchester United actually defeated Arsenal earlier this year. It was a big win for them, but Arsenal one upped them this time. Eddie Ntilikina had 2 goals. He had a brace on the 24th minute and the 90th minute. Game was actually tied late in the game. Marcus Rashford got the goal started with one in the 17th minute, and then Eddie answered it in the 24th, and then Bukayo Saka had a goal in the 53rd minute, and Lisandro Martinez answered him about 6 minutes later. It was kind of back and forth between both teams, and then Eddie Nkai took it home. But the discrepancy to me was the shots. Not a lot of shots on target. I can't say Manchester United didn't have a lot of shots, but they took advantage. They had 4 shots on target out of 6 compared to 5 shots on target out of 25 for Arsenal. So that was pretty big. I thought Manchester United converted more chances when they had them, and they were able to shoot them more on target than Arsenal did. But, you know, it's a process, man. But to be where Manchester United is right now, which I knew they were going to get a top 4 spot, they currently lead Tottenham by a full game right now, with a game in hand. So they're doing pretty good there. You know, Tottenham had picked up a big victory against Fulham. You know, and then if they would have lost, you know, Fulham would have moved up and took their spot. So it's a big win for them. Harry Kane is, you know, impressing again. But yeah, Manchester United is on the forefront of getting that, you know, Youth League spot for next year. So they just got to keep it going. Arsenal right now leads by 5 points against Man City with a game in hand as well. So they're looking pretty good right now. They're playing some of their best football. They got a lot of pieces that have been working really well for them this year. So that's the top four. My Chelsea is at number 10. Liverpool, who I knew would struggle this season, is at 9th. Aston Villa is at 11th. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think they got an FA Cup coming up, so I don't think there'll be no action for a little bit. But yeah, that's the major news. You know, Kane actually scored his 266th Tottenham Hotspur goal in the win last yesterday. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Everton, who they're going to pick up as their manager. And then, you know, Kane continues the ball. He's one of the best players in the Premier League, in my opinion. You put him in there, Erling Haaland. I think Marcus Rashford is playing his best football right now, really striking and scoring a lot of goals. He can't play any better. The youngster has really learned up quick. So that's the biggest thing in the Premier League. We'll see how it turns out. And then real quick, we'll move to NBA action. Obviously, Lakers get a trade for Rui Hachimura. It's supposed to start once AD's come back, but I think he's about less than a week away from his return. He's supposed to start in the front court with along with Anthony Davis. And they traded Kendrick Nunn and a couple draft picks to get him. So obviously, they're trying to shore up that defensive line, that big position. So he's a young guy. We'll see if he's able to finally, you know, kind of thrive in his role with the Lakers. Something they're kind of missing out on. And we'll see if it can help them kind of make a playoff push. Right now, I think the standings currently, let's see. All right, hold on, guys. I'm going to pause it here, and I'm going to come back. All right, I'm back. Go ahead and conclude with some NBA news again. So, yeah, I left off on the Lakers. So, they're currently right now in the Western Conference. Let's see. They're the 12th seed right now. They're 22 and 25. They actually picked up a big win against the Trailblazers the other night, storming back from a 25-point deficit and won the game. So, definitely a big victory for them. And right now, actually, the Warriors are actually the 10th seed right now, too. So, they're struggling. They're right on the cusp of the play-in game. So, we'll see if they're able to hold on to it. But it's really close right now between the 6th and, you can make the argument, the 12th spot. Only about a game between everybody. Clippers 25 and 24. Suns 24 and 24. Jazz 25 and 25. Timberwolves 24 and 25. Warriors 23 and 24. Thunder 23 and 24. Lakers 22 and 25. So if the Lakers can, you know, pull off a couple big wins here, and I think they got a big game coming up. If not tonight, I think it's in a couple days they're going to play the Clippers. So that might be a big game for them. If they're able to win it, they can make them 25 and 25, and then it'll be 23 and 25. So they'll be, you know, pretty close. But right now, kind of a head race at the top. Nuggets right now balling out, 33-14. Looks like they are, I wouldn't say the lock for the one seed, but going into the All-Star break, looks like they got that pretty much good handle on that. The Grizzlies are 31-16. Really surprising is the Kings. The Kings are 27-19 right now. They are 7-3 in their last 10, so they have been playing good this season. The Pelicans are 26-21. So they've lost four straight, so it'll be interesting to see if they can keep that up. But yeah, the Kings have been playing well this season, you know, all season long. So we'll see if they can keep that up. I'm going to have to be following a little bit more. And then on the East, really quick, Celtics 35-13, a good three-game lead on the Sixers. They're 30-16. Bucks are 30-17. Nets are 29-17. The Cavaliers are 29-19. Heat is 6th seed, 26-22. The Knicks 25-23. Hawks 8 seed right now, 24-24. Pacers 23-25. And then the Bulls are 22-24. So we'll see how the season turns out. But be interesting to see, man. I think the Celtics are a team that, you know, coming back. They look good all season long. They got a really good squad, really good team. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart. They got some good pieces. Malcolm Brogdon to help off the bench. I think it's a team you got to look out for, man. The team that could be potentially dangerous, man. So we're going to see how it works out. And I think James Harden missed a couple nights ago a game with an injury, but we'll see how they look. Excuse me, coming up. It's a good season so far, though. So a lot of interesting storylines. I think KD's still out with an MCL injury. I think he's out for a couple months. So, you know, see if the Nets can hold the fort down while he's out. I heard Kyrie's been playing well. So we'll see if they can keep it going, man. But I'm excited. And that's what I got for guys today. So I hope you like the Premier League action and talk in the NFL, and I might drop a video or episode in a couple days talking about my NFL playoff predictions. So thanks for tuning in to another episode of Sports Talk with Notch. Hope you guys have a great week, and I will see you soon. Peace.